You know what? Grace and peace to you from God, our Creator and our Companion, who calls us in the power of the Holy Spirit and makes us the body of Christ. In the beginning of God's creating, the earth was formless and void, and the Spirit, the breath, the wind of God brooded over the waters, and God began to create. 50 days after Pentecost, after Passover, there's this Jewish festival called Pentecost. Penta comes from 50. The disciples of Jesus, 50 days after Jesus was crucified, were gathered together, and they experienced the Holy Spirit that caught on fire. Now, in Hebrew, the language of the Old Testament, the word for breath and spirit and wind is ruach. It's the same word for all of those. So on today, on Pentecost Sunday, when we remember the coming of the Holy Spirit, we'll hear all about wind and breath and all of these flowing water and fire kind of images. In that spirit, we worship.
Loving God, Spirit of life in us, we praise you for the gift of life and for the beauty of your grace. We open our hearts to receive your word and to allow your creating and healing energy to fill us and transform us. Bless us as we worship and make us vessels of your grace. We rejoice in you. We give ourselves to serve you. We worship you. Hallelujah.
Okay, now I want to spend some time with the kids. I've only got 2 more weeks after today to spend with my kids, so I want to make sure I get some time with you guys. So bring them back into the room. Come on. Ben, Owen, Zeke, get back in here. Tristan, Charlotte, come on. Come back in the room. I know you're running around out there somewhere. Eden, Baron, come on. You can come in here. Griffin, get in here. So We have a lot of musical instruments around here. I have recorders and guitars and all sorts of stuff. James has a penny whistle, and you'll hear it later on, but this is what it sounds like. Isn't that cool? You've probably seen them before. It's just a tube with holes in it. And when you blow in it and you put your fingers over the holes, it makes different notes. The way it works is that there's a little edge in it that splits the sound and it makes it go. And depending on how many holes you cover up, it goes or and it makes different notes. But you have to blow in it. It won't just make music sitting there. But the trick is, you don't have to fill it up. The air is already in it. All you have to do is move it. That's true of a tiny little penny whistle, and it's true of a tuba. It's a great big huge tuba. The air is already in it. You don't have to fill it. All you have to do is go pop and make the noise. Today is Pentecost Sunday. So there's going to be a lot of stuff about wind and fire and breath, because that's all part of the story. And that fire stuff, that's why everything's red. That's why we wear red stuff and there's red flowers and red paraments and some of our masks are red. It's pretty cool. And we also talk about wind, because that's the Holy Spirit. That's God. Now think about this. The Holy Spirit is God in you. Just like the air is already in that penny whistle. It's already there. All you have to do is move it. God is in you. Sometimes we think that God is way far away somewhere. God is there too. Sometimes God is right next to us, and that's pretty cool. But sometimes what we discover is God is inside us. In fact, God is always inside you, whether you discover it or not. That's the way cool thing about Pentecost. The Holy Spirit isn't some weird ghost. It's just God inside of us. So no matter what happens, no matter where you are, no matter what you're doing, God is inside you, right there. And you can trust that. You can count on that. I am so glad that God is everywhere, and God is also right here, and also God is right here. Inside us. So I think we should say a prayer and say thank you to God for being inside us. Let's pray, God, thank you for being in us, and help us to remember that you are in everybody. Let's pray, God, thank you for being in us. Help us to remember that you are in everybody. Amen. Thank you. Thanks for being with me. Now, if you want, you can hear another story. Because I'm going to tell another story. This comes on that Pentecost day. This is in the book of Acts. Luke, who wrote the Gospel of Luke, wrote this book also. And he says, on the day of Pentecost, all the disciples had come together in one place, and suddenly there was this sound like the rushing of a violent wind. And it was like fire caught on each one of them, and they were all on fire, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and they began to speak in lots of different foreign languages. Now, in Jerusalem, there were people from every nation under heaven, God-fearing folks who were visiting Jerusalem. And at this sound, a huge crowd came together. And they were amazed because they heard the disciples talking to them in their own languages. And they were confused and astounded. And they said, wait, aren't all these people Galileans? How is it that we hear them all speaking in our own languages? There were Parthians and Medes and Elamites and people from Mesopotamia and Judea and Cappadocia and Asia and Pontus and Phrygia and Pamphylia and Egypt and the parts of Libya that belonged to Cyrene and Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Arabs and Cretans. And they said, we all hear them talking about these wonderful deeds of God in our own languages. What does that mean? Well, there were some who sneered and said, they're just drunk. But Peter stood up with the 11 and he raised his voice and he spoke.
People of Judea and all who live in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and listen to what I say. These people are not drunk, as you suppose, for it is only 9 o'clock in the morning. No, this is what was spoken through the prophet Joel. In the last days it will be, God declares, that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young shall see visions, and your old shall see dreams. Even upon my slaves, both men and women, in those days I will pour out my spirit, and they shall prophesy. Then everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. The word of life. A reading from 1 Corinthians. Now there are a variety of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are a variety of services, but the same Lord. And there are a variety of activities, but it is the same God who activates all of them in everyone. To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. To one is given through the Spirit the utterance of wisdom, and to another the utterance of knowledge, according to the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healing by the one Spirit. To another, the working of miracles. To another, prophecy. And to another, the discernment of gifts. To another, various kinds of tongues. To another, interpretation of tongues. All of these are activated by one and the same Spirit, who allots to each one individually, just as the Spirit chooses. For just as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of the body, though many, are one body, so it is with Christ. For in the one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, Jews or Greeks, slaves or free, and we were all made to drink of one Spirit. Hear the word of God for the people of God.
In the beginning, God breathed and began to create. That breath flows through us still. Listen for the living word of God as you hear the good news from John's Gospel in the 7th chapter. Jesus was at a great festival and he stood up and he said to all the people, "If you are thirsty, come to me. If you trust in me, drink from me. For as scripture says, out of the hearts of believers shall flow living waters." The gospel of the beloved, Jesus Christ. When we talk about the Holy Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, or Mother, Son, and Holy Spirit, we sometimes speak of three different persons, but they're three realities of God. The first person of the Trinity, God, the Creator, the Mother, the Father, the Source, this is the being of God, the being of all being, the isness of everything. God is what is. But God isn't just being. God is also being right here with us and for us. The second person of the Trinity is the presence of God, the Word, the Christ, that way that God comes to us. And the third person of the Trinity is not just the being or the presence of God, but the movement of God. God who moves through us into the world. The Holy Spirit is the movement of God, not just God being, but God moving. And that Spirit flows through us. So all these Pentecost images of fire and wind and breath and rivers, they're all about flowing. There isn't anything that just sits there. It's doing something. Now, all of this is not just abstract theology. This is about how we live our lives. It means something for how we live. Actually, after 9 years, you know how Trinitarian I am. It's probably going to mean three things, right? Part of what it means, in terms of our being, it means that we are part of something infinite. One of the huge insights of the New Testament is that our original sin, our first mistake, is the lie that we're actually separate beings. I have these 165 pounds of meat and bones right here, and I think that's me. And then I think you're over there and you're separate. That's a lie. We're all part of the same body. That's what Paul was saying in that letter that Wayne just read. We're all members of the same body. I have different fingers on my hands, but none of them would really be anything useful if it weren't connected to my hand, part of me. None of us is complete unless we're part of the whole. We are part of the infinite creation of God. Part of what that means is it affects our consciousness for how we relate with people. Because here's the secret. You love your neighbor as yourself because your neighbor is yourself. We're all part of the same thing. We're all parts of one another. This weekend, our country is reeling from the effects of racism and white supremacy. A senseless murder, and then protests against that, and then some white supremacists come in and break windows and start fires and make it look bad for the protesters, and all this chaos. You know where it starts? It starts with our failure to realize that we are each other. It's easy for white people to just think, well, you know, those are black people. They don't matter. As if there's a they. We're cutting off part of ourselves. We've been enculturated to just believe deep down that black people are dangerous. It's in our heads, it's in our hearts, it's in our muscles. That's why they're not necessarily bad people or even bad cops when they keep pulling guns on black people. It's just this instinct that, oh, this is a dangerous person, they're dangerous. That's rooted in this assumption that there's a they. That somehow they are separate and different from me. The solution to the evils of our racism begins in realizing that we are each other. It's not somebody else's problem. It's not somebody else's life. It's our life. We are called to do something about it because it's us. We need to be able to see that when there's a black man lying prone on the street, handcuffed with a cop's knee on his throat, we are the ones who are suffering when that happens. We can't just let that go. We also have to see that it's our knee, that we're the ones who are doing all of that. We are the victims and we are the oppressors. We are in it. When we begin to realize that, it might feel overwhelming at first, but that's because we forget that this it that we're part of is the grace of God. And it, this whole created thing that we're part of, is a gift. It's good. It's full of God's goodness. And that's the second thing. When we think about our presence in the world, here's the secret. You are gifted. Sometimes we don't feel that way. Sometimes we can say, oh, I wish I could sing like Jenny. We could play the penny whistle. I wish I could. And we always look at somebody else and say, well, they're so gifted. That's not a gift that we mean like a spiritual gift. That's a talent. Jenny happens to be able to sing beautifully. But the spiritual gift is the beauty that's in her heart when she sings. It's so easy for people to get intimidated around people who are really talented. And they say, oh, you do all these things well, and I don't do that stuff. Never mind that. Spiritual gifts are the way God is present in us that blesses other people. And you have spiritual gifts. And it might not be to sing or play the penny whistle or play the guitar. It's a different gift. We all have different gifts. Here's the thing. When I take a breath, I breathe out, and that breath travels over my vocal cords, and my vocal cords shake in the wind, and they make a sound. Now, one of the things we've learned with the coronavirus is that when we all stand in the same room together, we're all breathing the same air, right? That's why we're all wearing masks. We're all breathing the same air. So I breathe in, and when I breathe out, it sounds like my voice. When Jenny breathes in and breathes out, it's a different voice. It's the same air, but it's a different voice. the Holy Spirit gives each one of us different ways to give voice to God in us. And you have those gifts. Nobody else can have exactly yours. They're all yours. It's like your voice. It's your own. Sometimes people think, for instance, that my being able to speak in public is a spiritual gift. Well, it is. It's not anything that I tried to do. It's just given to me. So I can speak in front of 10,000 people and it doesn't shake me up. And for some people, it's terrifying. But listen to this. For somebody who talks too much, the ability to be quiet is a spiritual gift. If I'm rattling on, I need somebody who has the gift of being able to be quiet, that I can then become quiet with their gift. Everybody has spiritual gifts. You have gifts and the power of God in you to do something, even about something as big as racism and white supremacy, in your own way, in your own voice. Part of what I really want for you, all of you folks, as I prepare to leave St. Matthew's, this is one of the things that I want the most, okay? If you want to give me a going away present, here it is. Discover your spiritual gifts and be able to claim them and say, here's a way that God is present in me, moving through me. And you're not boasting. You're really just bragging about God who's given you these gifts. Isn't it cool that God gives me these gifts? I see those gifts in all of you. And sometimes they're big, flashy gifts, and sometimes they're little quiet gifts, the gifts of patience, forgiveness, perseverance, generosity, gifts of being able to be there for other people, the gifts of a sense of humor, the gift of, here's a good one, the gift of being able to weep easily. Some people don't have that gift. You all have those gifts. I so hope you discover them, because they're not for you. They're for the world. But you fulfill your life and your calling when you give them. That little penny whistle is just a little tube till somebody blows in it. And then it becomes a musical instrument. And what makes it music is that the air is moving. My third thing that this theology of the Holy Spirit means to us in our living, and that I really want for you as a church, as I prepare to go, is this: to know where you're moving. Where is God moving you? How do we as a church move out of here? In some ways, we've been forced. We're not in this room anymore. It's empty. There's four of us sitting here, and everybody else is somewhere else. That's not a bad thing. The church is moving out from the building into somewhere else. The cool thing about Pentecost, that was the day when the disciples caught fire with the Holy Spirit, and they realized that they weren't just a bunch of people. They were a movement. Not a building, not an institution, not a tradition, but a movement. And my deepest desire for you, dear beloved St. Matthews, as I prepare to go, my deepest desire for you is that you discover what movement you're in. How is God moving in this world? How are we moving with God out there? How are we called to bear witness? How does the Spirit move us? On Pentecost, everybody made fun of the disciples. Not everybody, but some people made fun of the disciples, thought, I don't know what this miraculous thing is. I guess they're drunk. There's always people who will criticize the work of the Holy Spirit. But the Spirit moved Peter to get up and bear witness. So when there are these murders of black people, when all this racism goes on, we are gifted to do something. How is God moving us to make a difference in our world? I absolutely believe that St. Matthew's is moved to make a difference in the world because we're gifted, because we're part of something infinite. And the trick is not to let that overwhelm us and intimidate us and say, oh my gosh, we have to do all these infinite things. The trick is to remember that the air is already in us. All we have to do is let God blow that Spirit through us. And the music happens through us. Because God is not off somewhere else far away. God is in us and among us, in the electricity of our connections with one another. The movement of God is in us. God is the very breath, the air we breathe, the movement of our hearts, the flowing of our blood. That is God. We don't have to worry or be afraid or feel inadequate. All we have to do is open ourselves and breathe God and let God flow through us into the world. And miracles will happen. Will you pray with me? God, we are in awe of your creating power. The Spirit that brings light out of darkness and life out of death. We are in awe that that Spirit is in us, that out of our hearts shall flow living waters. We open our hearts to your Spirit. We breathe deeply of your movement in us, your breath, your wind, your life, that everything we do might breathe your grace into this world. God, breathe in us. For the gift of breath, we give you thanks. And we pray for the faith to receive your blessings, to be mindful of your presence, and to listen for your voice, and for the courage to trust your deep desire for us, surrendering everything to your love, to live in harmony with your grace. Amen. Thank you. when we're all isolated in our homes, we can miss out on what's going on in other people's lives. And there's something really significant going on in other people's lives in our church right now, and that is that we have some students who are graduating. There are actually some who are farther away that we don't necessarily notice very much, but we have some college students who are graduating this spring or have or are about to sometime in 2020. And we also have some high school students who are graduating that we're about to send off and never see again, maybe. So I want to take some time to acknowledge those. There are four people that I know of who are graduating from college this spring. Betsy Peterson's son, Beck, Bob and Karen Hammer's daughter, Kaylee. She graduated from the University of Tampa with a degree in marketing and design. Isabel Omer. Remember all these people that we haven't seen for 4 years? All of a sudden, boop, they come up again. Izzy graduated in January from the Elliott School of International Affairs with the George Washington University in Washington, D.C. Ryan Yost will graduate in December. He's in biomedical engineering with a minor in entrepreneurship. Isn't it cool to know that those young people are out there doing that stuff? So we include them in our prayers, as well as three of our high school students who are graduating that usually we get to stand up here and hug them and kiss them and give them all sorts of gifts and embarrass them by making them say things. Well, we can embarrass them by making them say some things anyway. This year, we are surrounding with prayer Winston and Katie and Isabella, who are graduating from high school. And they've agreed, some of them, to prepare some statements for us, some videos. So let's hear from some of our...
Hey, everyone. I'm Isabella Hart, and I'm graduating from Acton-Boxborough Regional High School in June. And this fall, I am so excited to be furthering my education at the University of New Hampshire, and I'll be pursuing a degree in studio art.
Hello, my name is Winston Thompson, and I'm graduating from Acton-Boxborough Regional High School. And after I graduate, I plan on attending the University of Wisconsin.
When I think back at my time at St. Matthew's, there are so many people who I've been fortunate enough to get to know. To name a few, Pastor Steve and Pastor Beth, of course. Gordon, seeing him every Sunday just brings such a smile to my face. Seeing Elizabeth Fletcher Glenn at church was always a delight. Having Lynn as my Sunday school teacher and getting to experience her remarkable dedication to everything she does. And our family drives Barbara Katz to church sometimes, so getting to talk with her in the car. Barbara Wheeler, she knit my beautiful prayer shawl that I received for a confirmation. Chris, as well, was my sponsor for confirmation, and we definitely shared a lot of great talks over some good food. Maggie, Nathan, for always, you know, being at Sunday school, being my friend. And I've loved working with the kids at VBS for several years and more recently working in the nursery with those kids as well. I just love being with the children of St. Matthew's. So,
looking back at my time at St. Matthew's, I think probably one of the most meaningful things to me was definitely the senior high study groups. And I just think, you know, when we studied the Bible, our discussions were always super meaningful and I always got a lot out of them. I think all the activities that we did were a lot of fun. You know, everything that was planned was great. And I think most of all, Miss Osborne just made it such a welcoming place. You know, she always said, don't ever feel like you have to come. Only come if you want to. You know, she recognized that all of us had really busy lives and schedules. And I think that's one of the reasons that everybody felt like it was just such a great place to go to. Because it was always so welcoming and you could just hang out and talk if we wanted to.
One phrase that I wanted to share with you all is a phrase that was used in the confirmation materials that Steve prepared for us, and it really stuck with me. The phrase is, love radically, and to me, that truly embodies the spirit and message of God. to love without limits. I've truly loved my past several years here at St. Matthew's and hope to continue friendships started here.
I think one of my most meaningful memories, just, you know, in general throughout my life, would have to be this one thing that my coach told me once, and that was to always stay positive, which I realize is pretty cliche, but the way her perspective of it was pretty unique. So she told me that when she was in college and she was racing cross country, that she would always, before all her races, she would draw little smiley faces on the tops of her shoes. And during the race, whenever, you know, she started to feel the pain, or the race just kind of started to get tough in general, she would look down at her shoes and it would remind her that, you know, she loves running. That's what she'd love to do. And that would, you know, obviously it wouldn't make the pain go away, but it would give her something to think about besides the pain, which I thought, you know, pretty good life lesson right there. And I know I haven't used the smiley face method, but I've tried to think about, you know, why I love running during races and just try to stay positive throughout my life.
I want to thank everyone in this beautiful congregation for embracing me in God's arms. I hope to see you all soon. Bye!
To end, I'd just like to thank everybody in the St. Matthew's community. You guys have played a huge part in my life. I don't think I'd be the same person without you. And I, you know, can't wait to visit during the summer. So thank you guys so much. Bye!
God of grace, we ask your blessing on Katie Taylor as she graduates from high school. May this prayer blanket surround her always with the memory that she is your beloved. Strengthen her gifts, give her courage, gratitude, and love. God of grace, we ask your blessing for Winston Thompson. May this prayer blanket surround him with the assurance that he is your beloved. Strengthen his gifts. Give him courage and beauty and love in all that he does. God of grace, we ask your blessing on Isabella, that this prayer blanket might surround her with the assurance that she is your beloved, that she is gifted and sent into this world. Give her strength and courage and beauty that she might love without limits. God, we ask your blessing for all these graduating students and for Kaylee, and also Jane Hart. Amy Hart's daughter just graduated from San Diego in nursing. For Kaylee and Izzy and Ryan and Jane. For Winston and Katie and Isabella, grant your grace for all of us who need to remember that we are on life's journeys and not done yet. Give us courage and faith. Gracious God, we pray for all of these prayers that have come in this morning. For Patricia Berry, Nate's aunt, who died this week, we give thanks for her life and pray for healing and blessing for her daughter, Tian. We pray in gratitude for Evelyn Berry, who is 1 year old today. We give thanks for the gift of life and beauty in that wonderful little girl. We pray with Dennis Desiri for his sister, Deborah Ann, facing mental health challenges. God, walk with her. Shed your mercy upon her. We pray for all those who are living near rioting and unrest in many U.S. cities, friends and family members who are close to such violence. We pray for all those who are affected by the violence. God, we give thanks for Irene Taylor's new job, for your grace in her life, for her gifts, that you guide her and enable this next job for her to be truly ministry in your spirit. We pray for Judith Ann's cousin Sheila, who suffered severe burns, as in the hospital in burn unit. Your healing and patience surround her. We give thanks for Peter and Andrea Bonner's 44th anniversary today, for the gift of love and faithfulness, for the gift of healthy family. We give you thanks. God, we pray for your healing, for the deep, deep racism in this country, that each of us might see ourselves clearly, might learn and study and examine the systems in this nation and come to see our part in them so that we can repent moment by moment. We pray for all the people of color in this country who live with such fear, such terror constantly, who have reason to believe that they may be randomly hunted down. Help us to be a healing presence in this troubled world. God, we lift up all of those who are in our hearts. We say their names aloud, we remember them silently, and we trust your grace in their lives. For Curtis, David, Elizabeth, God, may your will be done in their lives. Amen.
We pray for all who are affected by COVID-19, for those who are sick, who are enduring risk, who are grieving, or who are struggling. May your mercy be present for all. This is my prayer. We pray for one another and ask your blessing on each person of St. Matthew's. Be present with us, especially in this time of isolation. Strengthen our love for each other and for our neighbors. Though we can't be in this room together, help us know we are one body in your spirit. May your love hold us. This is my prayer. And we pray for peace and healing in the world. We pray that your spirit may bring balm to all nations, that your realm of justice may come. May your will be done. This is my prayer.
A prayer of transition. My prayers are for Beth and Steve as they prepare for moving to their new retirement home in Maine and the next chapter of their lives. They have blessed us with their presence, friendship, wisdom, and love for the last 9 years, and we wish the same for them in their new community. I also pray for Shinru, Haywan, and Joshua as they leave their church community in Belfast. May we open our hearts to receive them at St. Matthew's in our community and be willing to serve God with his guidance and Shinru's leadership. We thank God for his presence during these transition times. Amen.
Holy is your name.
Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us from the time of trial, and deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. And ever. Our Father in heaven, holy is your name, holy is your name. Dearly beloved, siblings in Christ, Jesus has said, out of the believer's heart shall flow rivers of living water. This grace of God that moves through us, that gives us the peace of Christ, we are given to share with all the world, to move into all the world, that peace. The peace of Christ be with you. I invite you to imagine the peace of Christ flowing out like that river of God into all the world. Usually, what comes next in our worship service is this time when we offer our gifts. Some people very kindly bring us these plates. They make it really easy for us. They pass them through the seats, and all we have to do is just receive it and put something in it and pass it on. But we know it's not that easy. I invite you to take a moment to imagine the river of living waters that flow from God through you. What are the spiritual gifts that you would put in this plate? What are the things that God has given you that are for the world? What are the ways in which God moves through you to bless other people? It might be your financial generosity. The checks keep coming in. The lights are still on. It might be other things. Your time, your prayers, your sense of humor, your patience. What is it that you offer up to God? Offer that up now. And let God take those gifts and help them flow into the world and give life. Alleluia.
Amen.
Even though we don't all gather here in this building on Sunday morning, I would like to remind you that next Sunday is the first Sunday of the month, which makes it Food Sunday. People have been quite generous in dropping off food for the three food pantries that we support, and we definitely appreciate that. They really appreciate the foods that are high in protein, the hearty soups, the canned pastas, the canned meats and fish. But anything is desperately needed. Everything is desperately needed. So again, I ask you, if you have a chance to drop off some food in the basket in the entryway, if you're unable to do that, perhaps you're able to make a small financial contribution. Please remember that we support the Acton Food Pantry, Open Table in Concord, and Lowe's and Fishes in Devens. Thank you very much.
We are not going to be worshiping together for a long time. We are putting together a transition team that will help us think about how do we re-enter the building, at what point that we do. So watch for news about that, so we'll make sure that everybody gets included. Meanwhile, we're going to keep doing this online. As soon as we're done here, in about 10 minutes or so, we'll have coffee hour. It's on Zoom. If you go on the website, there's that that link so you can go to the Zoom meeting and join us for coffee hour. I love it. It's my last chance to see you folks in coffee hour. So come on and join us. If it asks you for a password, the password is coffee hour. All one word, no spaces, no capitals. Dearly beloved, siblings in Christ, God breathes in you. Let God breathe you into this world. Living streams of love flowing from your heart. Go in peace and serve God with joy. Amen. May the grace and peace of God be with you, my friend. Go and share the love of God, love that never